QHXS Burr Mobile, listening.
W8AAB, can anyone give me a read?
Mia 8 station, this is in 0TR, my name is Tom, and you're in the repeater loud and clear.
I couldn't catch your call sign. I'm currently mobile in my van, but thank you for coming back and letting me know that I'm in there all right. My name's Jamie, by the way.
Jamie, good morning, and stay warm out there. My call is November 0, Tango Romeo. That's TR, and that is my name, my initials. And what was your call, Jamie, W8, what?
It is Whiskey 8, Alpha Alpha Bravo. Come here from Michigan, and honestly, when I came here from Michigan, I thought I was leaving the cold weather behind, but apparently not.
It will be short-lived, and there's an extreme warm-up coming in just a very few days. And over the New Year's, it's supposed to be up in the 60s. This is very much out of character. We come here from Kansas in 13 years ago, about 2010. And the second year we was here, we had 9 inches of snow and 12 degrees. But it only lasted 2 or 3 days. And that's the way it usually is around here if you do get any severe weather. And this storm is just a monster covering most of the United States. So it's even been down below freezing down in Florida before. So we'll just have to grin and bear it. It's unfortunate that it'll cause folks a lot of grief during the holiday season, Jamie.
I'll be sure to do that. I gotta sign off real quick. I got a phone call, but it was lovely talking to you. I hope I come across you again. 73's W8AAB.
Okay, Jamie. Have a nice day. As I say, stay warm. Keep bundled up. Whiskey 8, Alpha Alpha Bravo, and 0TR clear.
TR, M4 WHM.
I was just looking up this lady's fine picture here on QRZ. You all bundled up and snuggled in this morning?
Same warm. Just trying to update the software on my modem for my DMR software, and of course it's not cooperating.
It's making them electrons run slow. You're going to have to kickstart them. Just use a little starter fluid in that modem. It's 29 degrees here. It feels like 15, and it's been steady winds almost 20 miles an hour.
Into the weather station here on my desk, it is 22 degrees with a little light wind, so it's chilly this morning, no doubt.
To the trash barrel, which is about 20 feet out the door there, in front of my truck, in a flannel long sleeve shirt and a hat on, and it didn't take me long to look at trash barrel over the lid was trying to blow off. Wow, that is really cold. But as I said to that lady from, used to be from Michigan, there's an unseasonably warm front coming in just a few days.
Yeah, it's going to be above normal temperatures here in another 3 or 4 days. So it's just pendulum swinging from one extreme to the other.
Getting the flu real good, ups and downs. Well, I hope not. Well, our kids missed their flight because our granddaughter got the COVID just before they come down from Michigan on the 16th. And we miss them very much, son-in-law and daughter and granddaughter. But the other kids are coming over tomorrow night, Bernice, for Christmas Eve, and we will have the two grandsons and that son-in-law from here and our daughter from down here in Greer. They'll all be here, so. And then we got a big meal the next day with the son-in-law's other side of the family down at Amy's, where some good old prime rib. Talked to Rusty this morning, and he was out in the cold, but he decided to call it off and went home.
The prime rib sounds very good. That's become more and more a fan favorite for Christmas, is cooking a big old prime rib. I cooked one several years ago, and it turned out extremely well, and just hadn't done it since. I don't know why. We'll have to put that back on the menu rotation, that's for sure. And I imagine if Rusty was out earlier this morning, I imagine the cold is what turned him around. I don't think you can be anywhere in the country this next couple of days and not get cold.
Boy, that's positively true. Well, Bob ND7J told me yesterday that he'd cooked a 17-pounder a couple of days ago. Yeah, 8 ribs or something in it, I forget, but it was a monster. Amy, our daughter, takes after Bernice and does a very fine job on those. Bernice is going to cook barbecue ribs and all the trimmings tomorrow for supper when they come over. You know, those grandkids, they're not kids anymore. One of them's 15 and, or 14 and 16. And that 16-year-old, 6'5 and 285, and wears a size 16 shoe. So he can put away a lot of ribs.
Any teenager can eat their weight at every meal, but he sounds like he's a he's extra large on the height there, so I'm sure he can put away a good rack of ribs and all the fixings and maybe even ask for seconds.
He makes baked beans, potato salad, deviled eggs, homemade Parker House rolls, and yada, 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 all the other stuff. Yeah, Rusty was out working this morning, and I told him I used to have to crawl up a 20-foot ladder covered with ice, crawl across the roof, and work on a 13 million BTU stress oven in the middle of winter up in Kansas. And the only thing that ever kept me warm doing that, or back when I was younger doing duck hunting, was insulated coveralls. They don't have any seams in them, and you just put a good coat on over that, and it works really good. And anymore, when I go outside, I put those on and a coat and a mask. I can't take the cold anymore at all, but didn't used to have any choice, Bill. And then you was up there on your knees in the ice and snow and working on 483 phase. Got a little dangerous at times.
So, I would imagine so. That's a lot of juice to be working on the cold and a cold on.
Yeah, your feet were hanging over the edge when I had to go over on the other roof. It was the same height, and there was two 275,000 BTU heaters. And in order to work on them, your feet were hanging over the edge of that 20-foot roof. And I'd begged them for guardrails, but they never had them. And I had paralleled the two units to get by on the control transformers, 110. And, wow, Bernice's blood pressure's 87 over 48. That's down there. She just took her blood pressure. I hadn't forgotten about it. I just stuck my finger in it. And on this rare occasion, my boss was up there, and he never got off of the floor. But for some reason that day, he come up there, and was sitting beside of me, and it knocked me backwards. And I think I'd have went off that roof if he hadn't grabbed me from the side. I just touched it for a second, but 110 will kill you just as fast as any of the rest of that stuff, Bill.
From what I've heard and been told, I said a lot of times 110 is more dangerous than the higher voltage or amps, because 110 will just make you grab it and hold on to it. Some of the others will knock you off of it or blow your hand back or whatever, but 110 just makes you clamp down on it and hang on. So my biggest experience was DC voltage working in the when I worked with the phone company, and I got lit up a few times with relatively small voltage, but pretty decent amps, and I learned my lesson to be a lot more cautious around those inverters and batteries and everything that worked at the phone company.
Yeah, batteries, you get burnt pretty bad, high current on them. The phone system ran on 48 volts, but whenever the ringer rang, it was 90 to 105 volts, 20 hertz. And that 20 cycles, it really dinged your bell if you got across it. Wouldn't kill you, but it hurt, and it really ticked you off. But, Bill, I worked with high voltage for 50 years, and all of that, what you said about one grabbing you and one kicking you away, is BS. It just depends on how you grab it. And we were always taught in the Navy to use one hand, keep one hand in your pocket. As you well know, you can't always do that. So anyways, if you get something from hand to hand, it goes across your heart and puts your heart into ventricular fibrillation. And on 110, just rough round figures, about 25 mils, and you can't turn it loose. The same applies for any of it. The AC, DC, whatever. I worked with a 100,000 watt Swedish Ampadine generating set, and it was 480 volts DC. Never did get across it, but my partner did, and it knocked him away from it. But don't count on those old wives' tales about one grabbing you and one not. If you put your hands down in a grasping fashion on something, it'll hold you. An old-timer showed me once. He said, "Tom, if you're not sure, I always check with a meter or an idiot light. Because on 480, if you got within a foot of it, it'd light that idiot light." And everybody said, "Oh, don't use those." Well, I used a meter and that. And if there was anything that would ionize that neon light, it ionized at 90 volts. And I wouldn't touch it till I'd go back and double check. We didn't have lockout and tagout back then. But he taught me to touch it with the back of your knuckles. That way, if it did bite, you couldn't grasp it and hold it, because you lose control of your muscles. That's about the most truth I can tell you in it. And the difference in the higher voltages, Bill, is 220, if you short it out, it just kind of like that. And it makes a pretty good arc. 223 phase or 483 phase will give you a third degree burn and explode. There's your major differences, Bill.
WHM. Yeah, when I went through my initial medic training in the Army, that was one of the things they taught us on patient assessment, is when you go up somebody, don't grab them by the shoulder with your hand to shake them. Use the back of your hand and tap them or shake them around with the back of your hand, just in case they are electrified, because just what you said, that way if it does grab you, you won't just clamp down on them, and then you'll be part of the problem. At least with the back of your hand, you stand a little better chance of getting loose of them. So, but yeah, that one's always stuck with me, and because you never know what somebody's laying on or what's under them or what caused them to be in the predicament they're in. So, but Yeah, there's lots of little things that'll get you, no doubt. M4WHM.
Send Gerald TR. Well, my boss moved down to the other plant, and so I never really had an electrical boss. I just reported to the tool room supervisor, and I was the lead man there. Well, one day I asked for the Condor to help change some 400-watt mercury lights up in the ceiling, or some sodiums, I don't remember. It was mercury's in the old days. And he said, "Nah, you're depending on that lift too much. It'd go up 60 feet. Well, the lights were at about 55 feet. So what you had to do is pull the crane over, the 20-ton crane. I'd rope up a 12-foot, and they wouldn't buy me a fiberglass one at the time. And then I'd hand it up to my partner, a great big Italian guy that I worked with. And he'd set the ladder up against the purlins from the gearbox on top of that 20-ton crane, leaning over about trees. And it was straight down. And then I'd crawl up the ladder and baling wire that ladder to the purlins, and then take out the ballast, which weighed 28 pounds. And you had to drill it out with a not double insulated, but one of the old Rockwell type drills that were metal. And we would tie into a control transformer and take two phases off of it for the 110 on top. Well, he came up there that day to show me it wasn't all that bad without that lift. And that lift, you were in the bucket, and it was nice. It was a metal bucket, but you were in it. And I told him, he's a very great man, and helped me to get my first job there. And I said, "Tom, you don't want to reach in there and grab that." I said, "Those lights are on a selector switch, and they pick up a relay." And I said, "If one phase of that three-phase is welded shut," I said, "even though that switch on the floor is off," I said, "it can still be hot in there." I said, "Here, stick this idiot light up there." "Oh, don't use those. Use a meter." I said, "I'll go down and get one," which was quite a task, because you had to go down the crane, walk across the bridge, go down to the cab, go down to the floor, and go to the electric shop. So anyways, he didn't. He refused it. And I'll never forget, he had a brand new set of Klein Dykes bill wire cutters. And he was up on top of that ladder, and I'd always changed them out. And he reached in there to cut that, and there's two phases on a sodium, or that's on 277, or this was straight 480, 240 to ground. And he reached in there, and it exploded right out towards his face, but it missed him. And I'll never forget, he left the pliers there, come down that ladder, walked across the bridge, went down to the floor, went back from 13th and Walnut to 3rd and Walnut Street, back to his home place, and he never come up there again, Bill.
I can imagine that will put some fear in you. Hopefully that made him let you use the bucket and get you a fiberglass ladder out of it.
N0TR. Times were tighter back then. Now, this was a huge machine shop. It was 300,000 square feet, and I had to take care of 30,000 square feet in another building, in the assembly building across the street. And later on, another building in the behind the old foundry, a structural shop. And the superintendent, one Christmas, he went on vacation. And so I went in and was going to get the substitute guy in his place, the assistant superintendent, to buy me a fiberglass ladder. You know, Ed Emerson was the assistant superintendent. And he says, "Tom," he says, "you know what the last thing Superintendent Delaney told me before he left for Hawaii?" And I said, "No, sir." He says, "Don't buy Ralph a fiberglass ladder."
Oh, man. Sounds like they knew how you were going to play the game while they were gone. Always interesting. N4WHM.
Yeah, you don't forget things like that, Bill. Them was the good old days. And It's like later on, a good assistant superintendent told me, he says, Glenn Clark, he says, Tom, he said, it's the golden rule. And I said, well, what's that, Glenn? He says, those with the gold make the rules.
That is the truth. M4WHM.
I miss the people, but I don't miss Kansas. I'll tell you, it was 4 degrees below zero up there this morning, Mill. I called an old friend that worked in the tool room the night before last, and he told me that's what it was going to be. And I said, I'll just pass on that, Mr. Henry.
You know, everybody can say what they want about a dry heat or a low humidity this or high humidity that, but there's certain temperature ranges when you get to above and below zero and above and below 100 degrees Fahrenheit, it's just either hot or it's just cold. And I'll admit, seems to me that a wet cold and a wet hot are a little more aggravating, but hot's hot and cold is cold to me.
You got that right. I meet people down here and say, well, there's no humidity up there in Kansas. I can tell you, after 62 years of living there, there was lots of humidity up there. But generally speaking, if it's a cold front, it's normally dry. And it's dry out there now. It's, I think this is saying 30%. And it's 29 degrees, it feels like 12, and we're getting 19 mile an hour spikes or peaks. But, we went to Las Vegas a couple of times many, many years ago, and it was just plain down hot out there. Oh, it's a dry heat. No, I ain't buying that. I'm like you, Bill. Cold's cold and hot's hot. Have you
got
to go out in it today, any?
I've got everything I need here in the house, other than taking the puppy out. We'll be in the house today. And I got on my gym shorts and a t-shirt, and I was going to call myself run out real quick to the truck to grab a cable I needed to work on my go box, and I tell you what, I like froze to death, and I wasn't outside but 2 minutes.
Well, that makes two idiots, because I did the same thing. I went out there in my long-sleeve shirt. It's a flannel shirt. I don't usually wear flannel around the house because we keep it pretty warm, and there was a used to be a trash barrel, but it's not anymore. They were sitting in a wagon out there that we're just going to throw away, and it blew the lid off. And I seen it laying there, and I figured, well, it's going to wind up in the neighbor's yard. So I'll just run right out there in the carport, pick that up, and come back. I'll be all right. I thought, well, maybe I'll put a hat on. So I put a hat on. Whew! It went clear through my tennis shoes and made my feet cold out there, Bill.
It did the same thing to me. Of course, when I was looking outside making my decision, the wind wasn't blowing, but as soon as I got outside the carport, a good old gust of wind come along, and I do believe in wind chill, because it is, that wind makes it a whole lot colder. M4WHM.
Hey, Bill, you'd think someone as old and ornery as that old man would learn no better. W2T says that. Good morning.
Rusty, that's where two fools met, me and Mother Nature. Go ahead, Bill.
We all have the moments in our life where we do things that we know better, but somehow or another we've survived. But good morning there. Come on in and join the conversation. Go ahead and tell us what you know about Santa Claus, and we'll keep it going.
Only thing I know is it was cold out there. I made the mistake of going out, and I was going to go do some jobs I needed to get done today. And I got out to the gas station, gassing up the car, and I decided right then and there, as I left my house and the temperature went down from 32 degrees in my front yard, and by the time I got to the gas station, it was down to 27, and that wind was picking up. And the weatherman had just said on the radio that it was supposed to get down to 19 sometime today. I said, no. Nope. I called the people I do the work for, and I said, no, nah, we'll put this off till next week because the weather is bad, and I'm not going out in it at my age. And, you know, if you want them done today, you can get hold of somebody else, but it's not going to be me. So, and they just told me on the phone, said, come back. Update the information, scheduling them for next week, and we'll go with that. So I said, okay. And that's what I did. But I did get my car gassed up, so it is full. The gas tank is full, that's for sure. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, wise man made a good decision there. Oh, shoot. I was thinking about running down to Aldi's and getting some cottage cheese, but I don't even think I'm going to do that, Bill. Oh, we bought some pineapple spears from Sam's the other day. They're in a jar, and they're only about $6. I'm telling you, you mix that up with a little cottage cheese or just eat them just by themselves. Those are the sweetest and best thing. They're in coconut oil, and I don't like coconut, but you can't tell it. They just taste like pineapple. So if you see those, and grab a jar of them, man, those are good.
Say now, I do love pineapple, but for whatever reason, I think it goes back to the seventh grade where we made homemade cottage cheese. I just can't eat it. There's a mental block there in my brain that says, nope, can't do it, can't do it. But I see a lot of people eat it and love it, but I'll take the pineapple, but I'll have to pass on the cottage cheese. M4WHM.
W2T. I'll tell you what, Bill, I agree with you. I mean, I used to eat, believe it or not, years ago, I used to eat pineapple. And, I mean, used to eat cottage cheese, and I liked it. But not anymore. It's just gotten so the thought of putting that in my mouth just, you know, it's what it is. But, hey, we all learn things over the years, and we all change what we eat and everything else to go along with it, so I've found that out. Go ahead, Tom.
Well, you know, I met a lot of people feel the same way, guys. The only one I like is from Aldi's, and it's the low-fat one and small curd. And any of the other ones are like mush. I agree with you. I don't like them, but I like that, and cut season tomatoes in the summer. And the other good thing about pineapple, Bill, is Bernice is always reading these newsletters from Harvard and different places, medical school and whatnot, and they say that the pineapple's an anti-inflammatory. So in that respect, it's good for you. I can understand you not liking the cottage cheese. My daughter, I send her a picture of it every now and then, and Bernice will have a happy face made out of half of grapes, you know, that she cut in half. And she put it on top of it over the cottage cheese and tomato, and then I'll send it to her right about lunchtime. N0TR.
Oh, like I said, I love pineapple, but I'll pass on the cottage cheese. But like I said, we do all learn over the years what we like, and our taste changes a little bit. But I try to eat what's pretty healthy, and but I eat more for what I enjoy. And speaking of, I got to pull a roast out of the freezer here in a little while. I'm going to have a roast here in the next couple of days, and good old chuck roast, and have me some rice and gravy and all that good stuff that's good for you. That's going to be one of my Christmas presents Santa Claus is going to bring. M4WHM.
You know, Tom, it sounds like we need to make a trip over to his house with what he's getting ready to fix, and you know, that would sounds like that's going to be a good meal over there for the next couple of days. But it is what it is, folks. We do what we can, we do it when we can, and all that other stuff too. So anyway, but just heard you guys talking and thought I'd jump in there, and I'd already I'd already harassed Tom once early today, so, you know, I needed to do it again, you know, just to keep my fingers in. Otherwise, he'd think I didn't like him anymore. Go ahead, Tom.
Well, you don't need to run off, Rusty. I was reading some Yahoo News here, and it says, according to this Value Penguin analysis, the average cost to insure a Tesla is $3,947 a year. Man, that'd be a little shocking, wouldn't it, Bill? I ain't buying no electric car.
I just don't see the hype on the electric car, which, now, I choose to live where I live, and that gives me an hour commute, about 50 miles one way, twice a day, so 100 miles a day, 500 miles a week. The average electric car only goes about 300 miles, and I can assure you, there are no electric charging stations between here, where I live in Hartwell, and Athens. You're lucky to run across the small country gas station. So, for me, it's just not even practical. But I guess if you lived in a city and didn't have to drive but 5 miles or whatever, and you were around Elon and had all them electric chargers, it'd be okay. But to me, when California asked people not to charge their cars because of the power grid when it got so hot this summer, that kind of told me that we're not quite ready for it. Just my 2 cents. M4WHM.
Yeah, I had to grab the microphone. I was looking at something on the computer for a second. Yeah, I'm still here. Particularly after I was saw where somebody posted what the cost was to replace the battery in one of those electric cars here recently. The total bill with the battery, the installation, and the tax and everything else was $29,000. That's more than I've spent for any of the last 3 cars I've bought. And that's more than the last 2 I bought combined. So, you know, I haven't, at my age, I can't see spending that kind of money for a car. And, you know, if I want to make a trip to Florida, my sister's house is 400 miles away. That means I could only go 3/4 of the way before I'd have to stop and charge the vehicle for 12 hours before I could go the other quarter of the way, which means I'd have to have a hotel room somewhere, and I'd have to find me a charging station, and then I'd have to pay the fee at the charging station. And, you know, I haven't figured out how that makes any sense at all.
I agree. And if you're in an accident, you better hope those firemen and EMTs have been trained in the electrical part of those things, because the bus voltage on those is rather high, and it is dangerous. It'll kill you. But Toyota, Bernice was reading this. I didn't see the article. Toyota says they're not going to put all their eggs in one basket. And that's, I like Toyotas. That's what I buy. And admire them for that. But they're looking at hydrogen or, and there's no infrastructure for that either. And I think hydrogen's pretty high right now, unless they got sources I don't know about. And then they got nuclear. I've thought all along that it wouldn't take much of a little reactor to run a car for a long time, but it'd have to be economically feasible, and I kind of doubt that. But they're looking at it anyways. But I know Dave bought one the other day, KB4CBA, and he bought a new Toyota. And they're really nice looking, according to my son-in-law, the one he bought. And I think he said there was like a 2-month waiting period to get it. Bill, go ahead.
People waiting to buy them, and like I said, for some people it might make sense, and when they got more money and they got sense, it seems to be the case. But, you know, you look at the what it does to the environment just to get that material out of the ground and make them batteries. I mean, it's a nasty process to mine for those materials. And you see these pictures, and they don't say much about that. Talking about the impact of the environment for the batteries and how short a distance they run and how much it costs to replace them. They just talk about how nice it is when they're brand new and already in the car. So, but I won't get on my soapbox too much on that. I was looking at the news while we've been talking and see where Iran is upset with the Ukrainian president about calling him out on TV the other night. I guess everybody gets upset about something, so hopefully that mess will calm down. I know I didn't realize it, somebody told me, but the rig expert meters I've got are made in Ukraine, so over there soon. That'd be a good Christmas gift. M4WHM.
This is 0TR. Yeah, it would be. It's kind of crazy, and it's getting really, really a lot more dangerous than what most civilians know. The idea of giving them those Patriot missile systems, it'd be like Russia setting up missiles like that on the Mexican border, let's say, if they took it over down there. How would we feel about that? And we're setting those up right next to his border, and it takes 90 American soldiers to man those things because they're not trained in using them. And their doctrine says that they can use first strike nuclear arms against us if they feel their homeland is threatened. And you're getting right on the edge of it. It's just like they're looking for a war. It reminds me of the Cuban Missile Crisis. Boy, if they do anything smart lately, it'd be out of character, I'll tell you. They don't know what they're toying with when they toy with Putin over there. He just don't care. And not to get into that too far, but that's a big mistake because they can shoot down missiles over the homeland of Russia, and they can also shoot down the drones, and they can also shoot down Soviet aircraft. If you got Americans doing that, to me, that's an act of war. Go ahead, Rusty.
What things going on, and I keep an eye on things, but you know, unfortunately, the United States has got this nasty habit of sticking their fingers in where they don't need to be stuck. And, you know, and then they wonder why things don't go like they expect them to in the areas. And, you know, at my age, I've seen a lot go on, and I've just reached the point where, you know, I try to watch what's going on and see what I can do to stay out of things and not get involved and things like that. But, you know, it's just a situation where there's not a whole lot we can do. We elect these folks and expect them to do something smart, but we found out that they don't do that too often. So, oh well. Let me go figure out what I'm going to do for some lunch here in a little bit see what I'm going to do elsewhere today. Talk to both of you later. Have a good day, and we'll catch you after a while. N0TR to take it, W22T. 73s for now, guys.
Okay, Rusty, 73s. Nice hearing you. I think I'm going to go pretty quick, too, Bill. It's really good hearing from you this morning. And what time is it getting to be? 11:28. So I'm going to wait a little while to go out and check on the chickens. But yeah, what gets me is we've given way over $1 billion to them over there to help them out. And Well, the Europeans are also giving them a missile system. They're not so easy to say things over there, but Europe, England, and I think Italy, their missile system for... It's a, just like the Patriot system, only a lot cheaper. Those missiles are $1 million a piece, by the way, when they shoot them, and 90 guys to operate them. But Zelensky's wife, when they come to visit the president, she went out and spent over $40,000 in her Christmas shopping spree the minute she got here. And he didn't even have the decency to put on a suit to visit the White House. I kind of disagree with that. I've never seen that before. But none of my business. Anyways, Bill, take care. Hope you have a Merry Christmas this weekend. And like you say, I hope they end all that over there and winds up in peace for all of us on Earth. In 4WHM in 0TR73's Bill.
It's great to talk to you. I hope the family that's traveling makes it wherever they're going and to your house safe and sound, and everybody that's traveling, I hope, gets there safe and sound. It's going to be a cold couple of days for Christmas, but like I said, it's going to warm up after that, and we'll be back to complaining about global warming. Who knows, but you have a Merry Christmas, and I'm sure we'll talk before the new year, but I sure have enjoyed that this morning, so always good to talk with you, and you tell Miss Bernice I said hello and Merry Christmas. Jana's been in the background listening and commenting a little bit, so she's been part of the conversation as well, so we sure do appreciate y'all. 73, my friend, N4WHM, clear.
Bill. N0TR, clear.